Meeting of the Labor Industrial Relations Committee. We will begin as a subcommittee while other members show up, and we'll start with our first sign-in member, Mr. Assemblyman Cooper. Come on up.
Good morning, Chair and members. My glasses here. AB 1042 updates the definition of a proprietary private security officer to further professionalize the security guard industry and protect the general public. The intent of this bill is to ensure individuals providing security services are properly trained and licensed. The bill adds examples of security officer duties to ensure individuals employed by a business, such as a bar or restaurant, and who provide security services are not unlicensed. Additionally, the bill allows employees of security companies to receive timely payment of wages. Because many security officer employees work weekends, the bill defines a pay period as a work week as opposed to a calendar week. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members, Kelly Jensen representing CalSAGA, the security guard industry. We very much appreciate the committee's allowing us to amend this bill to deal with this recent court case. It is imperative that we pay our employees on a work week instead of a calendar week, which would inconvenience them and be very difficult for our administrative staff to work through. I have Michael Pope here to answer any questions with regard to the case, and again, we very much appreciate the committee's indulgence. Thank you.
Thank you. Next witness.
Yes, my name is Michael Pope. I'm an in-house attorney with Securitas.
Great.
I would answer any questions that you have regarding the bill.
Thank you. Do we have any other witnesses in support? Do we have any witnesses in opposition? Okay, seeing none. Do you have any questions from members? I don't know if Mr. Stone will give you a minute to settle in. First of all, I just want to thank the author for bringing this bill forward. I think it's a very good win-win, not only for employees who will receive the protection that they need, but also we ease the compliance burdens on the employers. And I hope this is one first of many bills to come forward with that same kind of win-win scenario. So. Mr. Stone, do you have any questions on this bill? Okay. With that, Mr. Cooper, would you like to close?
I just want to thank you for your comments, Mr. Chair, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Thank you. As soon as we have a quorum, we'll make sure we call. We'll take your bill up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Assemblymember Gonzalez.
Good morning. Chair and Senators, last year when AB 1522 barely passed, I wrote my talking points, passed overwhelmingly, I made a commitment to businesses to continue to work on the bill in order to ensure that our paid sick day policy could be implemented as seamlessly as possible. AB 304 is the result of months of hard work and negotiations to do just that. It is also the outcome that we had hoped to be in place or expected to be in place as of July 1st. Among other things, AB 304 aligns the state's paid sick day law with the state laws governing CalPERS retired annuitants. It clarifies that employers are not required to provide more than 3 paid sick days if the employer had a sick day policy prior to January 1st, 2015 that meets specified conditions. It provides for labor management consensus in the motion picture and construction industries and provides added employer flexibility for how sick leave may be calculated for non-exempt employees. The California Chamber of Commerce and other employer organizations have removed their opposition to this cleanup bill when it was in the Assembly. Additionally, to ensure that these clarifications go into effect immediately, this bill does contain an urgency clause. We have a number of business organizations in support of this bill, and I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Mr. Chair and members, Mike Belote on behalf of the California Employment Law Council. These are California's biggest businesses, and they have resources to comply with the law perfectly. And they have been teaching their people, their HR and legal people, how to comply with last year's bill, AB 1522, perfectly. All they want to do in life, besides sell their product, is not be sued. There were operational ambiguities in last year's bill, and in particular, it was how to pay somebody for a sick day after July 1. The 90-day look-back period in the bill was administratively very, very difficult. What the bill gives employers is an option to use what is known as the regular rate of pay, which is a legal and term of art among HR professionals. This is a critical change to allow employers to properly pay people after July 1 if they got sick. We had considered asking for an amendment prohibiting Californians from being sick during this gap period, but that seemed unrealistic. So what this does is gives employers the ability to pay people properly after the date that the bill is signed. And our hope is that employers will not be sued for this gap period. That's all.
Thank you so much. Other witnesses?
Terry Thomas on behalf of the Motion Picture Association of America. Thank you. Many of our member companies clearly support the provisions that Mr. Belote described. It will assist them greatly in calculating the proper rate of pay. But secondly, there's a specific provision in here which applies to the motion picture and television production industries. We are unique in that we have employers, single employers, who use more than one payroll service company for the same employee because they might be working on different productions using different payroll companies. So there's currently not a system to adequately do the pay stub reporting requirement in the bill, and we have a provision in here that gives them an additional period of time to do it. It in no way affects their ability, the employee's ability, to earn the sick leave or to take the sick leave. It's just a delay in putting it on the pay stub. So we thank the author very much and would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, Chuck Cole on behalf of Prudential. Again, I want to thank the author as well for her very kind and serious effort of discussing the issues that came up in the prior legislation. Our staff is often paid a commission, and as a result, it becomes quite challenging to make that calculation. This bill certainly resolves that issue and is fair to the employees in particular. So thank you, your committee, and the author for their efforts.
Thank you. As we have other witnesses in support come up, we'll do a quick roll call so we have a quorum. Secretary, please call the roll.
Mendoza?
Here.
Mendoza here. Stone?
Here.
Stone here. Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Leno?
Here.
Leno here. Mitchell. We have a quorum.
Great. We have a quorum. We'll continue with witnesses in support.
Faith Conley with the California State Association of Counties wanted to thank the author as well as the committee for working with us on necessary amendments. We needed the urgency clause as well as primarily the retired annuitant exemption. So we're in support of this bill. It's going to help our counties a lot with clarification and jumping over the administrative hurdles that we would have had to deal with had this not been passed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Senators. Alberto Troika on behalf of Fox in support of the bill. Thank you. Senator Gonzalez.
Alicia Lewis with the League of California Cities in support.
Mr. Chairman and members, Brett Barrow at the California Legislative Conference of the Plumbing, Heating, Piping Industry, the National Electrical Contractors Association, and the United Contractors in support of the bill.
Tim Schmelzer representing Wine Institute, also in support, and we thank the author for dealing with some of the issues we had, specifically one Mr. Belote mentioned, and also helped us deal with our members that have a paid time off system. So both of those are extremely helpful. Urge your strong support.
Any witnesses in opposition? Great. Any comments from members? Vice Chair Stone.
Thank you, Assemblywoman Gonzalez. Thanks for bringing us forward, and I support the urgency of it. One thing I've learned in the past 6 months in just being here is that we are often dealing with the unintended consequences of prior bills.
Right.
And this one here is clarifying, is getting rid of ambiguities, which is going to decrease litigation, make us more business friendly, which is something that's very important to me. Thank you for working with the Cal Chamber and getting them off the bill. I had a couple of concerns. One was commission employees, but I heard that that's been resolved. The only other question I have is how do you deal with intermittent employees, somebody that starts for a while, then they're no longer employed, then they come back on again? Is it just a cumulative amount of time that will be calculated?
If it's within a year that they come back, yes, it calculates and adds up.
Great. Well, I'm very pleased to move your bill.
Thank you.
Bill, then I move. Senator Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And just to follow up on Senator Stone's question, I'm looking at page 7, line 17. This is a concern that City and County of San Francisco has brought to our attention. I'm not here to surprise you, so I believe my staff might have brought this to your attention already. It's a slight, their suggestion would be a slight amendment. So on line 17 of page 7, where it currently reads, if an employee separates from an employer and is rehired by the employer with 1 year from the date of separation, which is what you've just shared with Senator Stone, my city is asking if it could be slightly changed to, if an employee separates from an employer 90 or more days after he or she was hired.
We definitely spoke with the city. The problem with this is seasonal employees will never, because of the 90-day requirement to start accruing, will never have, even if they're going back to the same employer over and over, if we decrease that to 90 days, they'll never earn sick leave. And so we would like to keep it a year. That way seasonal employees will have the chance, in fact, to accumulate some sick hours.
Thank you for that explanation. That was clearly not the intent.
Absolutely not.
Which, as you know, has led the state, if not the nation,
right,
has 13 days for full-time employees currently in San Francisco.
Wow.
So I'll take this back with me to them. Mm-hmm. Their explanation was, for example, they give the situation where an employee could work 30 days, then return 8 months later, and the employer would have to, as they say, stitch together the previous employment with the new employment to figure out when the 90 days actually is tallied. So they're not interested in the unintended consequence.
Absolutely. And it was, we actually modeled the legislation, obviously, off of San Francisco's legislation. This is someplace that we changed it because statewide we're dealing with, in particular with farm workers, seasonal employees who have different situations that the folks within, San Francisco might have dealt with, and that's kind of how we're trying to be helpful to the city to line. I understand it's going to be a change in their policy, but one that I'm not comfortable giving up for workers who probably need this provision the most.
Right. Understood. Okay. Thank you for your explanation.
You have any other questions from members? Oh, we have, you want to add on?
Yeah, I'd like to add on, Mr. Chair, members. Chris Walker on behalf of the California Association of Sheet Metal Air Conditioning Contractors. We'd like to thank the author for moving forward with a clarification of how this applies to construction workers who are signatory to a collective bargain agreement. This is a very important clarification for us, and we appreciate it. We support the bill.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank Senator Gonzalez for doing such a tremendous job on this bill, working hard with all the stakeholders and bringing everybody together and working through the through the details to make sure everybody's happy. For the most part, everybody seems to be happy, and I appreciate all the work you've done. And I know we have a motion, so Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to appropriations. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Stone?
Aye.
Stone, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
It has 5 votes. It's out. Congratulations. Next, we'll bring Assembly Member Lowe. Yes, Senator Merlot, please step forward. Great, please begin.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members, for allowing me to present Assembly Bill 795, which required the Labor Commissioner to submit in their annual report to the legislature data on wage claims, adjudication hearing, wait times, backlogs, and decisions issues. Excuse me. Wage thefts exacts a heavy socioeconomic toll on workers, most of which are low-wage workers, as we all well know. And the proliferation of wage theft, particularly in the underground economy, has been a problem. And this bill simply tries to seek the opportunity to address this issue as it relates to the report to the legislature. In recent years, the Department of Labor Standards Enforcement has made progress in reducing the delays of wage claims. However, there's additional progress that can be made. This bill will address this issue by providing the legislature with timely data on the status of wage claims adjudication hearing, wait times, backlogs, and decisions issued. And I respectfully ask for your vote.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we have any witnesses in support? Any witnesses? No. Any witnesses in opposition? Okay. Seeing none. Any questions from committee members? Okay. Bill then moved. Seeing there's no comments. Senator Merlot, thank you again for bringing the measure forward. I will be supporting it today. I know it's a work in progress, and please keep us appraised as for how the bill is proceeding, especially if it gets altered in any way or amended in any way. Please make sure you continue to work with my staff to we're included in those discussions. So with that, Madam Secretary, we have a motion. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to appropriations. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Stone?
Aye.
Stone, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
Great. You're, we have five votes. Your bill is out. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know we're waiting for one more author.
He's presenting right now.
Okay.
Education.
Great. We can go ahead and do we have a motion for Mr. Cooper's bill that was presented earlier today?
So moved.
Okay. Mr. Cooper's bill has been moved. Please, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to appropriations. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Stone?
Aye.
Stone, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
Great. Has five votes, so we're just waiting for Mr. Thurman to arrive. I believe he's finishing up presentation. Yes, yes. Okay, we're gonna call the committee back to order. Assembly member Thurman is busy, and he's actually stuck in another committee presenting, so for the sake of time, we're fortunate enough that our own committee member, Senator Leno, is actually a co-author of this bill, and he will present on his behalf. So, Senator Leno, on behalf of Thurman, please present. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. So, presenting on behalf of Assemblyman Thurman, this bill prohibits the use of smokeless tobacco on the playing fields of our professional baseball stadiums. And I'm a co-author because this bill is all about the kids. We're concerned with what major league players do in view of kids, that is, on the playing field. In fact, research shows that the behavior of major league baseball players has a strong influence on our youth. And unlike cigarettes, use of smokeless tobacco among youth has remained steady. In fact, each year, 535,000 children aged 12 to 17 use smokeless tobacco for the first time. We've lost some greats in the sport of baseball over the years, many of whom were diagnosed with cancer of the mouth, and many of whom attributed their diagnosis to a single habit, and that would be chewing tobacco. Major League Baseball supports changes, and the Baseball Players Association, who have been a productive member of our discussions, are not opposed to this measure. As currently written, the bill would not take effect until the next collective bargaining agreement is signed. And the assembly member has given his commitment to amending the bill on the floor to ensure that it does not supersede any local actions that create stronger prohibitions to smokeless tobacco use, just as the city of San Francisco has done earlier this year. So that is the intent of the bill as it moves to the floor, should it move past this committee. This bill fills an important void in laws regulating tobacco use in professional ballparks around the state and ensures that young fans don't see their big league heroes taking a dip. That's a colloquialism. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Okay, witnesses of support.
Alicia Sanchez, representing the California Medical Association. We are very supportive of the assembly member and his co-author's efforts to reduce exposure, youth exposure to smokeless tobacco use by their heroes. And we know from our ongoing tobacco control efforts that changing social norms has a big impact, and this would effectuate that. We also appreciate the ongoing work that the assembly member is doing to ensure that it can be as strong as possible in ensuring locals to move forward. And we ask for your support.
Mr. Chair, members, Randy Perry with Aaron Reed and Associates on behalf of the California Children's Hospital Association in full support.
Mr. Chair, members, Megan Allred on behalf of the California Dental Association, for all the reasons previously stated, we are in support in our dry vote.
Thank you. Wonderful. Any other witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Any comment from members? Senator,
I can't resist the notion that while I think this is important and that our ball players do serve as role models, I wish we could do more when it comes to sexual assault and abuse that we also see in our sports heroes. But that being said, I'm curious, does anyone know whether how ball players have reacted? I know San Francisco's put this ban in effect. Have they said anything about this? Just out of curiosity.
The Baseball Players Association is not opposed to the
bill. Association. I'm just wondering if any of the ball players themselves have.
That's the Players Association.
Right, but the Players Association is the organization of the ball players, but not the ball players themselves. So the association.
You mean individually?
Yeah.
We have not heard from an individual player or from the association being opposed.
Okay. No, I'm just curious as to, you know, maybe this is a great trend. They'll start chewing gum instead of, spitting that disgusting tobacco, which many years ago when I used to watch the games diligently before they realized how dangerous smokeless tobacco is, I can't think of a ball player I remember admiring who didn't. It was part of the game, but it's. I'm glad to see that we're starting to reduce that use for a variety of reasons, not the least of which, of course, the great Tony Gwynn, who died at a very young age, died because of smokeless tobacco. But I just, I couldn't resist making the statement, and hopefully our athletes, as they as they train as young boys and into men and young women, young girls into women, will remember that they really do have tremendous impact on those who follow them and admire them and look at them as role models. So I'll move the bill.
Mr. Vice Chair Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and my friend Senator Leno. I appreciate that this is coming forward, and I'm kind of torn. As you know, we co-authored a vaping bill, and I'm very much aware of the dangers of smoking, period, that have claimed millions of lives, certainly in our country. For me, this just kind of steps a little bit over the personal liberty issue of, you know, if somebody wants to smoke cigarettes, they're going to smoke cigarettes, even though it says right on the carton, this is hazardous to your health, it may cause cancer. But unfortunately, I think what we need is a larger education program to try to keep kids from smoking. And wouldn't it be great if one of these athletes, you know, did a TV commercial, a spot saying that, you know, chewing tobacco is hazardous to your health, you shouldn't do it. And I agree with Senator Hannah Beth Jackson that we haven't seen a lot of good role models in professional sports, especially in the area of sexual assault. But this even applies to athletes during their practice time, which consumes probably most of their time in the sport, and certainly there are other sports as well that have this issue. So I appreciate the spirit of what you're trying to do, especially the health care aspects of it. I'm going to have to oppose it just because I just think it goes beyond the personal freedoms and liberties that one should have in choosing to do something that could be hazardous to their health. And I hope there'll be education programs to alert the youth as to how dangerous this potentially could be.
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair Stone. Senator Mitchell.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond in listening to Senator Stone's comments with regard to personal liberty. I guess for me, this is equivalent to our ban on use of tobacco in the workplace. And so the ball field happens to be their workplace. I'm as I recall, the bill is silent on dugout, locker room, any place else, but in the workplace. It's a ban, just like there's no smoking here in the Capitol, another public building. So just for me, that was the way I equated it. And maybe you didn't support that either in terms of personal liberties, but that was the way I equated it.
I agree. And I think the big issue with smoking in the workplace is secondhand smoke, which is hazardous to people. Mm-hmm. And when you, of course, chew tobacco, there is no secondhand
contamination. Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, just want to thank the author and the co-authors for bringing the bill forward. I think it's a very important bill, both for the health and safety of the ball players and also for the children that they who they look up to. And with that, I want to, if you'd like to close.
Thank you. I know, though we have a difference of opinion on the specifics of this bill, I know that I'm talking to a like-minded committee here today, but just never miss an opportunity to remind the world that according to the World Health Organization, over 8% of all deaths on planet Earth each year are caused by a tobacco product. In the United States, over 440,000 Americans die each year from tobacco products. That is more deaths from alcohol, heroin, cocaine, homicide, suicide, car accidents, fire, and AIDS combined. And it's a legal drug, and it's an addictive drug. And I appreciate Assemblyman Thurman's attempt to impact the 535,000 kids aged 12 to 17 who take up this habit every year, watching their heroes on the ball field go at it with a dip. I ask for your vote.
Great. All right. With that, we do have a motion. We do have a motion, right? Senator Jackson, yes. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Stone?
No.
Stone, no. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Leno.
Aye.
Leno, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
Great. The bill is out, 5-0, and I believe that concludes 4-1, I'm sorry. The bill is out. I believe that concludes our meeting. Thank you so much, members, for being here, and have a wonderful day. Thank you. We're adjourned.